Yeah, I had a pretty good night last night. I went to see Ringo Starr. Yeah, I actually saw a Beatle. That was surreal. It really still is. Celebrity's a weird thing. But yeah, it was everything I hoped it would be. It's like, that's Ringo. Wow, it's great. It was great. Peace and love. Anyway, in his band, the all-star band, was Greg Raleigh, who, in case you don't know, is a founding member of Santana. And, man, when I was first starting to listen to rock and roll in 1970, Santana song was out, Evil Ways. You've got to change your evil ways, baby. And Greg Raleigh's the vocalist there, because Carlos Santana, he never sang anything. The guy can't sing. He can just play guitar. He does pretty good at that. So Greg Raleigh, he's also played at Woodstock. I mean, he's a founding father. And he's rock and roll royalty too, Greg Raleigh. Yes, he's the keyboardist, mind you. He went on to play with Journey. Right? So he played Evil Ways last night. You know, Ringo, he has his all-star band play their quintessential hits. So Greg Raleigh sang Evil Ways, a Black Magic Woman, got a Black Magic Woman. You can't beat that song. It's so great. But, of course, one of the great performances at Woodstock was Soul Sacrifice. Go to YouTube. I'm telling you, go to YouTube. Look up Santana, Woodstock, Soul Sacrifice. And you will see Greg Raleigh on keyboards at Woodstock. So in one concert I got to see a Woodstock performer, and I absolutely love Woodstock. I mean, the film by Martin Scorsese, the documentary on Woodstock is the best. And there was Ringo, for the love of God. So, and then Steve Lukather, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name right, from Toto. He did Rosanna, which is great. Africa, which is great. And one other one. Just all classics. So it was kind of mesmerizing. Anyway, I had a good night last night. I'm feeling better today. Just a little jolt of the world. A little jolt of rock and roll. Hey, whatever it takes. Whatever gets you through the night, John Lennon sang. And there's something to be said for that. We're in a deep, dark night, as I told you yesterday. And whatever gets you through the night that's legal and doesn't hurt anybody else, I say go for it, because we don't want Jesus Christ rolling his eyes at us at the dais of Christ. I really do have nightmares about this. Not literally, but I have waking, disturbing thoughts that life is so hard and we're going through hell down here in the darkness and we're going to get up to heaven. You've heard me vent this complaint before. It's not a complaint. We're going to get up to heaven and we're going to complain a little bit to Jesus, like, God, it was so hard down there. And Jesus is going to say, I gave you so many things to get you by. I gave you Toto. I gave you Santana. I gave you the Beatles. I gave you Black Magic Woman. What do you want? And you didn't avail yourself of all the things given to you richly for your own enjoyment. What is the matter with you? You were too religious. That's what was the matter with you. I gave you all these pleasures on earth. Wine. Chocolate. I come back to Black Magic Woman. The Beatles. Led Zeppelin. Yeah. The Andy Griffith Show. Gumdrops. Lucky Charms. I give you all these things you couldn't get by. Come on. And of course, there are the deeper things. Friendship. Dark chocolate. Dark chocolate covered raisins. I'm talking about the deep things now. Friendships. Dark chocolate covered raisins. Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls. Yeah. Sleep. Ribeye steaks. Cigars. So I'm not going to be one who's going to stand up there before Christ bitching that it was too hard, and he's saying He gave all these gifts, all these gifts. Mini skirts. Yeah, it just came into my mind. Sorry, I missed that one. I'm sorry. Don't know what I was thinking that I put dark chocolate covered raisins before mini skirts. That was. So, to the scriptures. I know many of you are saying, finally, he's going to the scriptures. You can come back now, Fred. He's finally going to the scriptures. As usual, in the last 5 minutes, then he's going to say something worthwhile. I, Jesus, I'm in verse 26 of Revelation 22. Send my messenger to testify these things to you in the ecclesias. What ecclesias? The seven ecclesias are going to exist in the near future. I am the root and the race of David, the resplendent morning star. It's where we left off. And the spirit and the bride are saying, come. No, we left off here. And let him who is hearing say, come. Let him who is hearing say, come. Why would him who is, I just saw this. Why is him who is hearing say, come? Everybody's saying, come. Why are they all saying, come? The spirit and the bride are saying, come. And him who is hearing the spirit and bride say, come, is also saying, come. Everybody's saying, come. Well, all right. It's one of those great things, again, that we're supposed to participate in. Yeah, we're all supposed to say, come. That's not us, but this is for the circumcision. But, you know, I don't mind borrowing truths from the circumcision when it's appropriate. And let him who is thirsting come. Oh, well, let him who is thirsting come. This seems to be the order of the day. So I will not shy away from it. Seeing as how we're reading in the Word of God, let him who will take the water of life gratuitously. You see, it's still a proposition. The gratuitous here is not absolute gratuitousness as it is in our evangel. It's still a cooperative message. Now, here's the big thing. I'm testifying to everyone who is hearing the words of the prophecy of this scroll, verse 18. Now, if this is a somber threat, we can't screw this up. We can't even, if we tried to do this, we could not get ourselves out of the body of Christ. I am testifying to everyone who is hearing the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If ever anyone may be appending to them, God shall be appending to him the calamities written in this scroll. This is hard. This is tough. This is unbelievable. Why you would want to append, that is, add to, or have a little PS, or inject your thoughts into this scroll and have the calamities of this scroll come upon you? We're not going to refresh all the calamities that will happen that are described in this scroll, but my God, why would you want to do that? If ever anyone may be appending to them, God shall be appending to him the calamities written in this scroll. And I assume that's to her as well. Women are not, this is humanity, women are not exempt from this. The calamities written in this scroll. And if ever anyone should be eliminating from the words of the scroll of this prophecy, God shall be eliminating his part or hers. I added that. From the log of life. And out of the holy city that is written in the scroll. I'm going to share with you now Mr. Knox's words on this in his book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, from the section called The Final Warning. If you're following along, like I said, I've jettisoned this book a long time ago and started winging it, taking matters into my own hands. It's on page 581 of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ by A.E. Knox. The transmission of God's revelation is a standing miracle. It is. This word, just take the unveiling itself. I mean, forget all the other books of the scriptures. This one itself, just the transmission of it, is a standing miracle. The fact that we're reading this 2,000 years after it was written is a miracle. And it's taken for granted that we have the scriptures in its entirety. It's a big bore to people, but it's a standing miracle. Yes, we're all looking for miracles. Not us, but most people are. They want to see something supernatural. How about this? God's word has been preserved for 2,000 years. This is especially true of this concluding scroll, which crowns God's aeonian terrestrial purpose. This scroll, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, crowns God's aeonian terrestrial purpose. That is his purpose for the earth. It has been misunderstood, ridiculed, and opposed from the beginning, or as I would say, from the get-go. From the get-go, this has been opposed, and people even today, can you believe this? People who are close to our own circles are saying, excuse me, that the book of Revelation doesn't even belong in the scriptures. They call it spurious. I call them spurious. They're spurious. It has been misunderstood, ridiculed. Yeah, I'm ridiculed for taking it literally. I'm ridiculed for telling you that 5 months of locusts means 5 months of locusts. And that hailstones the size of Toyota Celicas, boy, that goes way back, are literal. I was going to say the size of Volkswagens, but I think I've used that analogy before. Maybe I should get away from the car analogies. Hailstones the size of Rhode Island. I say that's literal, and I'm ridiculed and opposed. From the beginning, it was hardly kept in the canon. Barely. It was barely kept there. So this is one of those books that, you know, almost didn't make it into the authorized collection of scriptures put together by God through the agency of men, no less inspired than the words themselves. And yet here it is, and when you study it, the gematria, you study the internal numbers, you study the structure of how this book answers Genesis, and you realize that it is inspired. One of the marks of its authority, of its authenticity, sorry, I don't have my glasses. One of the marks of its authenticity and inspiration is the warning with which it concludes. And again, the reference here is 22 verses 18 and 19. The author was well aware that it would be an enigma to almost all who would read it. Isn't this interesting? The author, and that's a capital A on author, was well aware that it would be an enigma to almost all who would read it, except for like A. Enoch and Dr. Bullinger and Martin Zender. He foresaw the tendency to add the dreams and hallucinations of humans. The dreams and the hallucinations of humans are added to this scroll because it is so filled with visions and figures of speech that people lose their way, and it becomes a red carpet to them to start making shit up. It reminds me of the quote that I have at the front of my scriptures here. I'm going to show you this. I'll have to flip the camera around. Hang on a second. I want to show you, I have a quote from, of all people, Francis Bacon. But the heck of a guy, this Francis Bacon. There it is. Whosoever shall entertain, I can't read it as I'm showing it to you. Whosoever shall entertain high and vaporous imaginations instead of a laborious and sober inquiry of truth shall beget hopes and dreams, hopes and beliefs of strange and impossible shapes. I'm going to read that again. Please pay attention. Focus on this. Just cinch your mind down on this. Whosoever shall entertain high and vaporous imaginations instead of a laborious and sober inquiry of truth shall beget hopes and beliefs of strange and impossible shapes. Eternal torment is one of those beliefs of strange and impossible shapes. It's a nightmare. It is transmuted, unadulterated, light-bending, universe-shifting BS. Eternal torment is. But it comes from entertaining high and vaporous imaginations instead of a laborious and sober inquiry of truth. Eternal torment, phantasmagoric. All because the vain imaginations of humans want eternal torment to be true, or they want to insert their ideas into, say, the lake of fire of Revelation, or into the many judgments, the bowls, the wrath, the lightning, the thunders, the trumpets. Instead of, for instance, learning about figures of speech, what is a figure of speech? What's a metaphor? Why are the two nouns on either end of a metaphor literal? Why is the verb to be the figurative part of the metaphor? What's a vision? That is called a laborious and sober inquiry of truth, and it eliminates the chance of hopes and beliefs being of strange and impossible shapes. We're giving you truth here that is practical. It has real shape that you're familiar with, real shapes like triangles, parallelograms, squares, rectangles, circles. Yeah, nice, boring little shapes that everybody's used to. Not these weird, strange, and impossible funhouse mirror convoluted images of some crazy, fang-infested god. Strange and impossible for God to be that way. It's strange and impossible for God of love to be a God of eternal torment. Yet this comes by refusal to inquire of the truth laboriously and soberly. Instead, it's a result of high and vaporous imaginations. Vaporous. Like steam rising from a tea kettle. Put your hand right through it. You see the smoke rising from a fire, from your coffee mug even. It swirls and it does its own thing. It goes like a snake. Snake of smoke. A smoke snake. Vaporous. Disappears. Now it's here. Now it's gone. Now it looks like a duck. Now it looks like a meatloaf. What is it? That's not what we're about. We're about solid truth. And because of that, we look unspiritual. Because people relate spirit to smoke coming from a teapot. It must be vaporous, or it's not true. It must be mystical. It must be magical. Martin, what do you think of the lost book of Jude or the lost book of whoever? Or these mystical? Everybody loves the mystical thing. They like to see the undulations of Satan. Yeah, I said it. I said it, didn't I? Of Satan. Satan tricks people by movements, by vapors, by letting the mind wander, because people want their minds to wander. They like the fact that they can exercise their imaginations. High and vaporous imaginations. It's colorful. It's fun. Everybody can be a teller of truth. Everybody can be a holder of truth. All you need is a dream. All you need is a thought. But your dreams change and your thoughts change because they're high and vaporous. Oh, they're high, very high. And people think that because their dreams are high, because the smoke from the teapot or the fire goes way up to the ceiling, ooh, it's high. All you have to do is use words like the universe, oneness, centeredness, my inner self, my soul. All you have to do is use these high, vaporous, new age words, getting in touch with my essential self, my spirit guides. And it sounds great because it sounds high. Oh, this person's tapping into the spirit. Shh, shh, quiet. They're having a moment. They're having a moment. The steam comes from the pot, from the literal pot. I'm having a moment, please. I'm having a high and vaporous imagination, and I prefer it to a sober inquiry into truth. But alas, I'm forming beliefs of the strange and impossible variety. And yet, it's so high. And yet it's vaporous, that's true. It's not solid. There's no shape here I recognize. There's no triangles, no parallelograms, no rectangles, not even a circle, no. But I'm feeling good about myself, and now I shall spew it upon you. I shall write it down. I shall gather me a YouTube channel and pontificate upon nothing. Yeah. Thank you. We don't want what you're selling here. We have enough BS. What we want is sober inquiry. What we want is words. What we want are rules of language. What we want is what God actually said. How do we find that out? We find it out by a sober and laborious inquiry into truth.